Welcome. We're glad you've joined us for this Hand in Hand podcast. Hand in Hand is a nonprofit organization, and we provide information, classes, training, and lots of support for parents like you. We call our approach Parenting by Connection, and it's based on the insight that you deserve good support as you parent, and every child needs lots of connection in order to thrive. We offer tools to help you foster support for yourself and connection in your family. We hope this podcast gives you exactly the kind of support you're looking for.
So welcome, everyone. Welcome to today's teleseminar on finding the support that you really need in an information-overloaded world. So my name is Lyra Lestrange, and my co-presenter's name with me today is Sky Munro. And I'd just like to start by acknowledging all that you do and have done for your children and really appreciating the time and the effort that you've put in to make your children's lives really full and happy. And we know that your time is really valuable, so thank you for taking the time out to think about your parenting and for all the juggling that you had to do to be able to join us today, either live here now or listening to the replay later. So we hope you can get some fresh ideas that you can take away from this teleseminar on how to find support that's truly helpful in today's world. So there are a few more parents registered who are going to join us for this call that haven't yet. So while everyone gets settled in and has a chance to dial in, I'd just like to talk a little bit about hand-in-hand parenting. So the Hand in Hand Parenting is a not-for-profit organisation based in California, and there are Parenting by Connection instructors all around the world, including myself and my co-presenter, Sky. And Patty Whipfler is the founder of Hand in Hand, and she founded the organisation in 1989, and she's had many thousands of hours of real-life experience working with parents and children. And Hand in Hand has a really wide variety of ways to support parents really well. And you can access much of this support for free or for very little cost through the website. And that is handinhandparenting.org. So there's lots of articles on many different parenting topics. There's a really inspiring blog. There's podcasts that you can purchase or some are for free. There's booklets. And also there's self-guided online classes that you can take as well, and a really lively email discussion group that's very active, and you can access that through the website as well. And there also are instructor-led classes for parents and professionals, and we'll talk a little bit more about some specific classes coming up when we close our teleseminar today. So Parenting by Connection is the approach developed by Patty and Hand in Hand Parenting. And I'd just like to give you a little overview of Parenting by Connection, especially for those who are joining us today for your first teleseminar or for those who haven't had a chance to read or hear much about Hand in Hand Parenting yet. So the Parenting by Connection approach is all about understanding your child and listening to them and focusing on connection. So the relationship with your child is at the centre of the approach, and the cornerstone of this approach is listening. So just to put it into perspective, some of the old ways or traditional parenting have often focused on rewards and punishment, and even the newer approaches that advocate time out or reasoning, none of these really work in the long term, and this is because they only address the outward behaviour and not what is going on emotionally for the child, which is more often than not the underlying cause of the challenging behaviour in the first place. So when we pay attention to connection, we pay attention to what makes the brain really work. So the take-home message of Parenting by Connection is that your child is good, they know how to love, to play, to be kind and thoughtful, and to think well. However, in order to be their inherently good selves, children need to feel that sense of connection and safety with their parent or primary caregiver. So when the challenging behaviour arises, we can learn to look at this as a signal for help, not something to be punished. is just a big red flag waving, telling you that your child has gotten disconnected from you somehow and they really need your help to find their way back on track. And it's the same for us. Like, we really want to be close to our children, to love them fully, to see them thrive. However, when we get stressed or disconnected, that becomes difficult for us as well. So this is where listening comes in as a key strategy for building that connection. When we as parents can listen well and set limits well, then children can instinctively offload their negative feelings, the emotional tension that they're carrying, and then regain that sense of connection and good judgment. And also, when we parents have the support of a good listener, this can help us feel less stressed and isolated, so then we're more able to offer the connection our children need in order to thrive. So parenting by connection teaches these listening tools, both for parent to child and parent to parent, and we'll talk more about that later on in our teleseminar. So we really encourage you to reach out for the support that you may need for your own parenting so that you and your child can really thrive on that deep love that you have for each other. So thank you once again for joining this call today on how to find some valuable support in an information overloaded world. So I'd like to introduce myself briefly, just to tell you a bit more about myself, and then I'll hand it over to Sky Munro, my co-presenter, who can tell you a bit about herself as well. So my name is Lyra Lestrange. I'm really pleased to be here today. And I've got two children, Finn, who's 6, and Summer, who's 4. And I live in the Southern Highlands of New South Wales on the east coast of Australia. I first heard about hand-in-hand parenting and parenting by connection when my first child was only a few months old, and I really resonated with this approach and have done my best to parent this way with both my children since they were born, or since they're quite young. And when my daughter was born and I was a new mum of 2, I took the Parenting by Connection starter class, that's Hand in Hand signature class, and this really deepened my understanding of the tools and the approach, and I really felt like I had a roadmap then, a framework from which to navigate the challenges of parenting. And my journey as a mother has been so much easier and more rewarding because of knowing this information and practicing the tools. And I really loved this approach so much and felt so empowered learning it that I knew that I needed to share it with others. So I decided to become an instructor and have been for almost 2 years now. So now I'd like to hand it over to my co-presenter, Sky, and she can tell you a bit about herself too before we begin. Thanks, Sky.
Thank you, Lyra. So I'm Sky Munro. I'm the mum of 2 gorgeous gems, Onyx aged 4 and Ruby aged 6. I've actually worked in the children's services sector for close to 20 years and discovered this approach when working with a young parents program. Every article that I read and every video that I watched and every post that I saw go up about hand-in-hand parenting by connection approach really resonated with me. So I actually signed up to do the starter class myself and saw immediate positive changes within my own family. Whilst I was doing this, I started sharing it with everybody. I started sharing it with my friends and the people that I worked with, my students. You couldn't stop me talking about it. So that's when I decided to train as an instructor and spread this beautiful message far and wide. So I now founded my own company, Nurturing Connections, where I use this wonderful approach alongside my extensive professional experience working with children and families. And I just love it. I love hearing all the positive changes that it brings in all the families that I share with this approach. And I'm just really excited to be here today with you all as well. So I'll be sharing more a little later, but now I'd like to turn this over to Lyra to get us started.
Thanks, Sky. Lovely to hear your enthusiasm with this approach as well. Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. So we wanted to talk about this topic today, how to find support in this information overloaded world, because we have so much information at our fingertips and so much well-meaning advice given to us when we become parents that we can easily become confused and overwhelmed. And hand in hand, we really recognise that parenting is such a demanding job, often because we don't have the support that we need. So today we'd like to offer you some suggestions about how you can cut through that information overload and gain the support that's really valuable. So we're going to talk a bit about the information that's available to us, whether there's too much or you can't find the right information or there's not enough available to you that is really helpful. And also offer you a way to reconnect with your own instincts and gain that confidence, because you know your child the best. You're the expert in your family. And sometimes all we need to do is reconnect with that inner confidence. And also we'll give you some suggestions about how you can put support in place, even when our lives are so busy. If we put support in place before it's too late, and that can be really helpful as well before you get too overwhelmed. So we'll talk a bit about that. So I'd like to hand it back to Sky and just to talk a little bit about the information that we have available today. So thanks, Sky.
Thanks, Lara. So the feedback that I'm given from the many families that I partner with is either there is too much information available that they just get confused and are not sure which piece of advice to listen to. On the other hand, they have too little information, that they no longer have support from extended family members, that villages disappeared, or are not sure where to source accurate and helpful information from within their own local communities. Yeah. And, of course, then there's the barrage of information we find at the end of our fingertips, the wonderful World Wide Web, the Internet. So those moments when we as tired, hardworking, stressed-out parents spot a suspicious-looking rash on our precious child's chest and we start typing it in and asking Dr. Google for all the answers, and moments later we've diagnosed our child with life-threatening meningococcal, only to find out that it's a bit of leftover jam smeared on them from breakfast. But how do we sift through all this? Or how do we get the help that we're after? I'm going to pass it back to you now, Lara, to help us find a way to really connect with our own instincts and gain confidence in our parenting.
Thanks, Sky. Yes, we do sometimes just seek out way too much information, don't we?
Yeah.
Okay, so a really powerful way to tune into our own instincts and gain confidence is by having someone listen to you, and someone who won't offer advice or interrupt you, and having that chance to talk through your thoughts, to cry or laugh about what's going on, or simply be heard is a really effective way to be supported in your parenting. Because often as parents, we have so little time to ourselves. Even just to talk through our day with someone can be helpful in figuring out what the best advice is. We may have been told two completely different ways of doing something and are feeling really confused. So talking through it and also paying attention to what feelings arise as we do so can be so helpful.
Yeah.
Because as well as clearing up the confusion, being listened to in this way can help us reconnect with what's really important to us. And our own inner confidence can be restored. So the parenting by connection tool of listening partnerships is what I'm describing here. And I think it's what sets this approach apart from other parenting approaches out there, and really recognizing the importance of supporting parents in our very important work that we do in raising children. And it's really hard at times to parent well, and even more so if you're trying to parent differently to how you were parented.
Mm-hmm.
So our reactions and our big feelings often get in the way of us thinking clearly. So having a listening partner helps to take those big feelings somewhere where they can be safely released and without taking it out onto our children. So for those of you who haven't heard of listening partnerships before, if you're new to hand-in-hand parenting, what it involves is pairing up with another parent, a friend or a relative you trust, and exchanging time talking about what's happening in your lives. And you listen as well as be listened to, so it's an exchange. And there's lots of information about listening partnerships on the hand-in-hand website, handinhandparenting.org. And there's articles that explain the concept in more detail, there's a booklet about it, and there's also resources to help you connect with someone also looking for a listening partner, and even a self-guided video class. So there's plenty of support there to help you get started. but I just wanted to give you a specific story about how a listening partnership helped me make a decision that was quite confusing. Because last year we had to think about which school my son would attend, and we had to make a decision between two quite different schools. And the more that I asked other parents about them, the more confused I became. Like, I felt like I was getting really bogged down in other people's experiences of the schools, as well as trying to analyze all the information way too much. Like, it's just, you're getting all sorts of advice from everyone, and I wasn't very clear at all. So I was feeling quite overwhelmed about this and decided to think about it with my listening partner. And as I talked, I felt myself tuning into my body and its reactions, and noticed more and more the feelings of ease and happiness when thinking about one particular school and the opposite when thinking about the other. So this, of course, gave me the much-needed clarity I was wanting. But there was also another layer that I became aware of as I realized my judgment was being clouded by my own experience of starting school and the memories that I had as a five-year-old, both good and bad. And during this time talking to my listening partner, I found myself crying with relief as it all became so much clearer in my mind. And I was just like, I can breathe.
Yeah.
So I could easily see which school would be best for my son and our family. And I felt really strong in my decision. No one had made the decision for me. And I hadn't needed any more advice or any more information. I had the answer within myself. I just needed to find it and just to be heard and to be able to talk it through and listen to my body and what it felt like, and listen to the thoughts in my head as well. So, And this idea of a listening partnership might seem a bit awkward to you, especially if it's something that you've only just heard of. And I know I was the same. It took me probably 2 years from hearing about it when I first connected with Hand in Hand Parenting to decide that, yes, I did want this in my life, and now I couldn't live without it. So I really understand that it might feel a bit foreign to start with, and because most of us, we're probably not used to talking about how we really feel about things. And generally, we don't feel we can express our emotions very much because our culture is very much one of fixing it rather than allowing those thoughts and those feelings to come out. So, but just knowing that having a listening partnership has made a huge difference in my life, as well as many, many others who I've either taught or spoken with who are part of the Hand in Hand community, many have embraced this idea. So I really encourage you to give it a try and see what happens. So, but I'd love now to invite Skye to share a bit more about listening partnerships and her experience as well.
Sure. Thanks, Lyra. So as Lyra mentioned, the idea of listening partnership may seem way out of your comfort zone or a little strange to start with, especially when your first time that you sit down and attempt to do this. But like Lyra said, persevere, because they are just amazing. I know that when I first learnt parenting by connection tools, I really thought that this one was not for me. Mm-hmm. I actually have always been an oversharer and quite comfortable with telling people how I'm feeling.
Yeah.
But what I didn't count on was how powerful it is when you are sharing away and expressing all your feelings and you have someone there really listening. Mm-hmm. Really on your side and really rooting for you. Mm-hmm. The feeling that you get from being supported by a good listener is just amazing. The information that you're able to figure out and the challenges that you're able to workshop and solve when you're given time and space and loving attention is just incredible. But of course, it's not just as simple as knowing this information. As busy parents, we often put our own needs last. We're trying to cram so much into our days, work, study, school, sports lessons, parenting, et cetera, et cetera, that the thought of adding another thing to our never-ending to-do list can just be overwhelming. Mm-hmm. But guess what? A listening partnership can help with that too. So I'm just going to share a story with you all about how a listening partnership helped me with that. So as I mentioned earlier, I'm a mum of two gorgeous young children. I'm also a sole business owner. I'm studying part-time at university and my husband works shift work. Oh, and we also live in an isolated community, literally hours and hours away from support of our families. Wow. And we only moved to this region now about 6 years ago, so we're still relatively new to the area. So I'm just sort of gaining support from friends now in the last couple of years. Mm. One in particular who's amazing. but one day, all of this, so my life really, it was really just getting to me. I was starting to feel so anxious about having too much on my plate. Yeah. I felt a lot of guilt at not being able to do any of my jobs properly. I felt like I was constantly letting my kids and my family down, and I felt like I was not running my business as well as I could. Mm-hmm. I took all this angst to my listening partnerships, and I cried and I moaned about how it was just too hard, too much for one person, and that I couldn't possibly handle it all. And as I got all those big feelings out, I felt myself calm down and get clearer. Yeah. I was actually able to figure out where I needed to make some changes so that everything would run smoother. And I was able to see that I wasn't letting anybody down, that it was just me being hard on myself. By having that safe place to go to figure that all out, and having that time to figure it all out, because often at the end of our days as busy parents, we don't sit down and reflect on it. It's not like the end of a business meeting where you go over the notes and you put forward a strategic plan. You don't have that. So having these listening partnerships really gives you that time, that space to figure it all out. Mm-hmm. And without being given some well-meaning advice or solutions, I was really able to tune into what my needs and my family needs are. So they're unique to my family. My situation's unique to me. Although advice has its place and it's really fantastic, sometimes you just need to be given that time to come up with what works for you and your family. Yes. So listening partnerships have actually been an absolute game changer for me in my parenting. Mm-hmm. I was never one to ask for support, and I always liked to look like I had everything well managed, everything's under control, we know what's going on. I hear you agreeing, Laura. I know that I'm not the only one.
No, you're not.
So many parents don't think that they need or deserve support, but we all do, and we deserve a ton of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'll just pass it back to you, Laura, to talk a little bit more about that.
Yeah, thank you. No, that's right. We do deserve so much support, but often it's really hard to ask for help, and often we leave it too late to ask for help. Mm-hmm. So we wait until we're so overwhelmed with everything, or we get sick, or we have that meltdown of our own before we realize that, okay, I need some more support here. Mm-hmm. So what I'd like to do today is to really encourage you to think about how you can put support in place before it gets too late. So I'm glad that you're here and taking the time out to listen to this call, because that tells me that you have a moment just to reflect and to think about this.
Mm.
So taking time out for ourselves or with our partners, or asking a friend or relative to help out regularly, or even setting up a listening partnership, as we've been talking about, can be great ways to get support. But perhaps when you're hearing all this, you might be thinking, oh, I've heard it all before, and that you don't really need help, mm-hmm. or it's too hard to ask for help, you know, things like, oh my God, I could never ask a relative to join in because to help me out, because they would just give me so much more advice that I don't need, or, you know, that might make your stress levels rise just thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
But I really encourage you just to take a moment to notice what happens when you think about asking for help. So in whatever way that you think help would be the perfect thing for you, whether it's a listening partnership, whether it's asking a friend or relative, whether it's taking more time out for yourself, helping babysitting with a friend, just notice what happens when you think about asking for this help. So does your mind come up with 101 reasons why you don't need it? Or does your body tense up? Do you lift your shoulders and kind of think, oh, no, that's not, I can manage, I'm fine. So really noticing these reactions might be a good place to start in terms of looking at the reasons why you don't get the support that you need. So, and perhaps too, you could even set up a listening partnership and so have some listening time where you explore why you don't need any help. That can be really enlightening as well, because it shows up our things that get in the way for us about asking for help. And another reason why putting support into place before the crisis hits is that knowing that you have someone to rely on, whether it's swapping babysitting with a friend or that regular listening time, so knowing that you've got something in place can give you that sanity and that strength you need to keep calm during intense times. So knowing that someone has got your back can help us think more clearly and more creatively in difficult situations. So I'd love to share with you a story about how this was for me. And it happened a few weeks ago. And I was on a Sunday and everything was fine until breakfast, when the warm connection that we'd established that morning started to unravel, and my daughter had a tantrum over the wrong breakfast. And I was able to listen pretty well. You know, I had that energy. It's a new day. I can deal with this. I'm fine. And she got through it and she was much happier afterward. But then as I tried to clean up the kitchen after breakfast, I could hear the tension escalating in another room with my two children. There was yet another argument over a toy and whose it was. And I sighed and thought to myself, here we go again. This has been happening a lot lately. So I can just feel that patience waver there. And I was like, oh, I'm going to come unstuck in a moment. But luckily, I had some listening time booked in for that evening. And so I was thinking about that and I was clinging to that thread of sanity and presence that that offered me. And yeah. I went to help my children and, yeah, and I was okay with that. But I'd not been back in the kitchen for 2 minutes before the next explosion of yelling and screaming began. And this time I was like, ah, I felt like yelling now myself. My husband was away, my patience was wearing really thin, and we had the whole day together stretched ahead of us. Help. So somewhere in the back of my mind was all the things that I could have been doing. I could come in playfully and diffuse that tension. I could drop everything and get on the floor and play with my children, or think up some amazingly fun connecting experience, or call a friend in. And all these thoughts were somewhere in the back of my mind. But at the forefront of my mind were thoughts like, I can never get anything done around here. I need a break. Will you guys just stop?
And I hear you, Mama.
And then, of course, the guilt for not doing enough to help them stay on track. And you know, none of these things that I was thinking was really helpful, until I remembered that I had a plan in my mind, my list of things to do in times like this. And many of those things on that list were inspired by Patty's article, Strategies for Hard Times, which is on the website you can have a look at. So I took a deep breath, walked over to my children, and as calmly as I could manage, I comforted them both and then asked them to put their shoes on, and I said we were going for a walk. No discussion. And luckily they agreed with that. And as we sat on the front step, my daughter said, I'm just not having a good day. And I thought, oh, too right, neither am I. But in a flash of inspiration, I really decided to tell her my reasoning for going for a walk. And I explained that there are choices that we have about our thoughts and our actions, and sometimes it's really hard to change them. But today I've made the choice to go for a walk with you both instead of staying inside and being cranky. And I'm really hoping that'll change the direction of our day. And she listened and she seemed to like that idea. And
it's beautiful.
And as we set off, as we set off down our driveway, our neighbour came out of the house with a gift of a bubble blowing set for my children, and they were just so excited. And and I turned to my daughter and said, "Look, our day's changing direction already." And she smiled and took my hand and said, "Mom, today's going to be fun." So just the simple act of getting out of the house and, you know, deciding to go for a walk and instead of staying inside was really helpful. And I just, yeah, I started to feel better myself as well. It's that real rush of love for my children, being grateful to be outside in the fresh air and a chance to start again. And we did have a lovely day together, and we walked up to the local cafe and had a milkshake and then picked up treasures of, you know, feathers and gum nuts and things all the way back home. And then when we got home, they were really happy playing with the bubbles, and I joined in as well, and we had a lovely time. But to be honest, there were still a few moments later in the day where I nearly lost it again. But I was able to talk to my children and make a plan for when I started to get cross. And we decided they would ask me if I needed to go for a walk or call a friend or go outside and sit on the grass. And it worked. Because one moment I was asking my daughter to do something for the third time, and my frustration must have been shown as she promptly said, "Mom, do you need to go for a walk?" with a bit of a smile and a sparkle in her eye. Immediately that tension diffused for me, and I started laughing and playfully went off for a walk around the living room. Really exaggerating, making myself calm down with much laughter from my children, of course. So, But that evening, when speaking to my listening partner, I really got to tell her about how frustrating it is when my children don't listen to me, and I cried about how upsetting it is for me to see my children hurt each other and argue. And all this really helped to relieve that tension that I was carrying and was stopping me from being present and being able to connect with my children. So not surprisingly, the next day I was able to be there for them much more. I had much more patience. So I'm wondering if that sounds familiar to you, whatever situation you're in, whether you have toddlers that are constantly asking for your attention, or you've got newborns that keep waking up at night, or you've got school struggles, or whatever it might be. Like, parenting is hard, constant work, and often there's too little time and not enough hands and heads to meet the demands of a child's need for attention. So it's inevitable that things will start to fall apart. And life might even reach crisis point if this lack of support is left unchecked, because as parents, we can lose it with our children so quickly. And it's not our fault. It's just the way that things are with that lack of support. But then the fear that this losing it with our children generates in them leads to more frustrating and challenging behaviours, which then leads to more losing it moments from us. Mm-hmm. And so even if we feel like we get on top of things for a while, it can spiral out of control very quickly if that underlying lack of support isn't addressed. So putting into place regular listening time can really help. So even if you can't talk to someone in the heat of the moment, like in my story, that the thought that there was someone to talk to later can help us feel like there's hope, there's some support waiting for us, and it can really help us get through those difficult moments. Yeah. And also, as in my story, just making a list of things I enjoy doing with my children and writing them down, that gave me a plan for those days when connection seems out of reach, like going for the walk and going to the local cafe for a milkshake, and other things could be getting out in nature for a walk, or reading a story, having a bath, or anything connecting that makes you all smile. And these are things that you can do when you're too tangled up in your own feelings to listen well to your children, or to think well about how to set limits, or when you're too tired to play. And I call these my changing direction strategies. Mm. And that it really helps us to get through the day until we can let go of all the tension that I'm carrying with my, when I speak to my listening partner. So, So next time you're confused about a certain issue in your life, or you're feeling like it's all too much, instead of getting bogged down in the information by reading more and more, or distracting ourselves from our feelings of overwhelm by looking at our phone or watching TV or eating or drinking too much, I'd really encourage you to try something else, like maybe some listening time and seeing how that listening partnership goes for you. Because this is what will usually help us get to the core of the issue. So it addresses the underlying problem, which is often not enough support.
So it's a way to spend our precious time valuably and restore that sense of confidence and inner knowing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So thanks for listening to my story today. And we've come to that point in our talk where we'd love to hear your thoughts about what we've spoken about, and also any questions that you might have about what we've spoken about, or any stories that you would like to share as well about having asking for help or wanting more support in your life, or any questions you might have about setting up a listening partnership, or stories that you've had that you know, of using listening partnerships yourself. We'd love to hear them. So if you are joining us live on the call today and would like to ask a question, if you just press star 2 on your phone keypad or your Skype, and then we'll see that you have a question there, and we can have a look and see, we can unmute you and you'll be able to talk to us and tell us your story, or ask a question. So please come forward if you have something you'd like to add, and we'll open up the line for you. Yeah. Okay, even if it's just something, you know, that you'd like, a comment that you'd like to make, anything that has resonated with you or hasn't resonated that you'd like to share, you're very welcome to come forward now. Yeah. Okay. I'm just going to ask Alana from California. I know I was speaking to you before we formally started the call, and I was just wondering if you would still like to ask ask the questions that you were talking about, or whether you would like to save them for another time, which is fine either way.
I would like to ask a question.
Sure, yeah, you're very welcome to.
So my question is, and my comment about it, that listening partnerships are simply invaluable, invaluable. So whoever is listening to it, do set it up.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah, I'm glad you've had a good experience with it as well. Yeah, yes. Thank you for that, Nazana. Yeah,
but I do realize that the topic is different, but so it is very kind of you to maybe even address this question.
Oh, that's okay. Yeah.
No. So my question has to do sort of about the practical way. You know, my grandson is waking up at night, and he does it with my son, not his wife, because I guess his wife is more attuned to just making the behavior stop. So with my son, who is trying to be there, I think there are still practical stuff. So, for example, so the child wakes up, cries, you know, and the question is to reassure him and let him cry or thrash about. But then how do you, I mean, the child is in the crib. There is a rocking chair in the...
Next to the crib.
And how do you try to maintain eye contact with the baby? I mean, it's the practicality of it, because I've never done it, you know, sort of thinking how to help him with it.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, so listening to that cry, you obviously are aware of the importance of being able, for a baby to be able to cry, and if they wake in the night, that can be really helpful. To allow that cry, but are you wondering that, you know, the practicalities of it? What does it look like? How do you, you know, how do you be there? How do you hold them? And how do you make eye contact, as you say? And
yes, practicality. How do you do it?
Yeah, sure.
Well, I'd firstly like to say that, you know, well done, like listening or being open to listen to a child in the night is really a big thing. It's really hard to be there for them in the middle of the night. And so that's wonderful, so wonderful that you want to. And in terms of, like, Skye might be able to jump in here, but what with my experience, with listening to my children at night, I've held them in my arms. And so instead of having them in a crib, taken them out and held them, especially when they were quite young as babies, you can put a soft night light on so they can see your face, see your eyes and see your expression that tells them that you are there for them. Often, like, our children can read us so well, even from birth, they sense how present we are by reading our facial expressions and our body language through, and as well as our tone of voice. So holding them close and, you know, but allowing that movement, if they need to thrash around, as you said, then allowing that, and sometimes it can be more comfortable for you both just to have them lying on the bed next to you and just having your arm gently around them so you can focus on their eyes, making eye contact, but allowing that room if they need to arch their back or thrash their hands and little legs around and have the chance to do that. And yeah, so you can keep them in the crib if that's, you know, something that's important to you, but I would really recommend, like, sitting really close and having, you know, one arm around them and really being quite close with your face as well so they can see you and you know, see you there offering that warmth. Yeah. And sometimes too, like, it's really hard to do that, especially if our children are waking up multiple times a night. So I just wanted to also reassure you that, you know, when they wake up that first time, maybe you can listen then, but if they're waking up again and then again, and you're finding yourself, you know, getting too tired or too impatient to listen, then that's okay. Like, it's okay to give them a feed or rock them or whatever it might, you know, might be doing just to help them get back to sleep, because it's really hard work to listen in the middle of the night. And then, and also, you know, going back to our support as well and talking about listening partnerships, I think that's where, as you mentioned, it's so valuable to have that. And also that really prepares us for doing something challenging like listening to our children when they wake up at night, is to have some time with your listening partner and to be able to share all the frustrations or the fears that you have or, you know, the concerns that you have, so you feel really heard in yourself before you can then offer your loving attention to your child. So does that help at all?
It's very healthy. And I don't want to hog all the time, but I have time.
Yeah, well, thank you. And Skye, do you have anything you'd like to add to Alana's question now?
No, I think that you covered that really well. Thanks, Lara. I agree with what you were talking about.
Great. Yeah.
Okay, if the baby wants to run away from you, what do you do? Because this is like a toddler that already walks.
Yes, sure. Yeah. If a toddler who's running away when they're upset, do you mean?
No, that is during the day, but at night, I am still in the night.
Night situation.
I am still in the night when the toddler wakes up and...
Okay.
By to
and
leave.
They run...
Yeah.
And they try and get away from you.
Yes.
Yeah, sure. It's tricky when you know that they're upset and they're trying to get away. And I think it really depends on the situation and how well you're feeling about it all as well. Like, if you're feeling really present and you're feeling really connected and able to be there, then you can hold the child close to you so he can't run away, and, you know, allow him to kick and scream and, you know, release all the feelings related to that. But the minute that you start to feel any resentment or any frustration or impatience, then it's really important to let them go, because they pick up on that so
easily. Another way you can do it is just to, like I've done this with my children, is to look, to shut the bedroom door and sit against it so they can't open it and go away. And so they're in the room, but they're in the room with you, and you're offering that connection and you're holding that limit. So you're saying, I know that you really want to get away right now. I know you don't want to be with me, but I'm going to stay with you. I'm going to stay close to you because I can see you're upset and I love you and I don't want you to be upset on your own. So having that kind of message conveyed when they're trying to get away can be helpful too, just to, so they know that you're not going to give up on them. They know that you are there when they're going through the worst of their feelings, and that you can, you will stay close. So, yeah.
I think it's important to understand, sorry, just to interrupt.
No, go for it.
I think it's important to understand that it's not you that they're trying to run away from either. It's those big feelings that don't feel good for the child either when they've got something that's stirring up inside of them. So although they might be saying, go away, or they might be trying to physically run away from you, it's actually those feelings that they're trying to escape because they're not feeling good. Having somebody there who cares and is ready and able to pour love into that child while those feelings are there is what's really going to help them heal through that.
Oh, you've been incredibly helpful.
Yeah.
Oh, both of you. Very, very, very much.
Oh, thank you. No, thank
That's
you for,
great to hear.
For asking the question. Yeah. Wonderful. Okay. Is there anyone else who would like to comment or ask any questions today before we close? No, it's okay. Well, Sky, how about we close the call? We're a few minutes early, unless there's anything else you would like to add to our call today?
No, I think that we've covered it,
what
we were intending to,
Yeah, great. No worries.
Okay, sure. Now that we've reached the end of this teleseminar and it's time to close the end of the call, I'd just like to take a moment to share and reflect with some of the main messages that we were hoping to get across today with this teleseminar. So the first one was that you are the parenting expert within your home. You can really trust your own instincts. You get to choose what works best for your family, for you and your family. Another message is that you do deserve support. We all deserve support. The work of a parent is hard and important work, and we should be able to get the support that we deserve.
Mm-hmm.
And a really important message that I hope that we got across today is that listening partnerships are a powerful tool that will help transform your parenting.
Mm-hmm.
So please do give them a try if you haven't already, and persevere even if they feel a little uncomfortable at first.
Mm-hmm.
You will soon, I'm sure that you will soon get that great feeling that we all get from having a profound experience through a listening partnership.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you so much for joining us all, joining us today here. We hope that you've enjoyed this teleseminar. And I'd just like you to know that we've got a few more teleseminars coming up. So please check out the website www.handinhandparenting.org. We also have available other free resources, including the monthly newsletter, many articles, and membership to a free Yahoo discussion group. And if you're interested to learn these skills more deeply, we do offer instructor-led six-week-long classes called the Parenting by Connection Starter Class, which is our signature class. So this class receives great reviews and is the best way to learn about our approach. Our classes are small and you will receive personalised attention. So Lyra and myself both have online starter classes commencing in April, and we're also both got some local talks and workshops coming up. So to connect with Lyra or myself, you can find us on Facebook. Lyra is Parenting by Connection with Lyra Lestrange, or on her website, lyralestrange.com.
And my Facebook page is called Nurturing Connections, and my website is www.nurturingconnections.com.au. Also, you can, of course, go to the Hand in Hand Parenting website to see all of the upcoming classes offered by our instructors. And if you're looking for even more personalised attention or have a hard issue that you're trying to resolve, we also offer one-on-one consultations. So there's lots of great resources. There's also self-paced, self-guided classes from the Parent Rescue Series and professionals intensive courses as well. Now, Hand in Hand is a non-profit organisation, and that depends on your donation to provide free services like this parenting call, the many articles on our website and our free parent discussion group, also scholarships for classes and instructor training. It's really easy to donate and any amount helps, so please just click on the donate button on the Hand in Hand Parenting website and give what you can, so together we can support parents everywhere. And with that, we're just going to wrap up this call. Thank you once again for joining us today. We hope you've enjoyed this teleseminar. It's been so wonderful to have you here with us. Bye-bye from me.
Thanks, Skye, and thank you, everyone, for being on the call. We've really enjoyed having you with us. So till next time, thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us. Hand in Hand is here to help you get the support you need for your work as a parent. To download podcasts on additional parenting topics, go to handinhandparenting.org/store. We look forward to connecting with you again soon.